So, this morning I was meditating, and these comments that I want to make in this video came up very strongly, so I thought I'd waste no time and just come and talk to you about them. There are four qualities that I became aware of that every meditator needs, and I'm not saying that they're the only four qualities that you need, but they're four hugely important qualities that if you are willing to develop them, that it will help power your Vipassana meditation forward. They will help all kinds of meditation, but here we're discussing Vipassana meditation specifically. So, without further ado, those four qualities are clarity of purpose, strong intentions, sincere application, and gentle persistence. Clarity of purpose, strong intention, sincere application, and gentle persistence. So the first of those is clarity of purpose. So you have to know why you're meditating, why you're practicing Vipassana, and you have to know what it is exactly that you have to do. So that there has to be a clear comprehension of your purpose and a clear comprehension of what is suitable and what to turn your mind to. So you have to understand the overarching reason for practicing, for following the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path. So then we come back to the Four Noble Truths, a clear recognition that there is the possibility of bringing all forms of suffering to an end. Suffering arises because of a misinterpretation of reality, which causes us to passionately desire and to crave for life to be different than it is. That misinterpretation of reality can be resolved through the mindful investigation of the true nature of reality as it's unfolding. So, truth, the way things really are, irrespective of who you are, irrespective of what age you live in, irrespective of what culture you belong to, irrespective of race, gender, sexual orientation, that which is true for absolutely all of us is what we're talking about. So we're looking at our conscious experience and learning to mindfully investigate and to note what is actually taking place in order to see that all the components that go to make up any experience are entirely transient and conditioned, which means that they cannot be grasped after and depended upon for our happiness and well-being. So we have to have that clearly before us, that set of ideas when we meditate, so that we know what our purpose is. So we have the overarching purpose, and then we have our immediate purpose, and our immediate purpose, therefore, is to sit down, to learn how to clarify the mind, to clear the mind of hindrances and obstacles, and to be able, therefore, to sit quietly with an undisturbed mind, observing things arise and pass away, to note aggregates as they arise. So, as part of having this clarity of purpose, there has to be a good intellectual grasp of the teaching, what ultimate reality is. What the aggregates are, what condition-dependent origination means, all the links to condition-dependent origination, that all those things have to be in place. Knowledge of the three marks. Also included in clarity of purpose is reflection based on meditative experience. So therefore, being able to identify tendencies and habits which you can then build into the way that you approach subsequent meditations. So if you know you have a tendency towards escapism in meditation, you know you should be looking at the breathing process, or you know you should be noting things, but that tendency to try to dive into daydream, to dive into fantasy, takes hold, because you're willing to reflect on past meditative experience, it gives you a clarity, a recognition that the likelihood is, yes, so escapism is going to crop up in subsequent meditations, and so you can bring that clarity of purpose to bear by saying, yes, I accept the strong likelihood of these tendencies arising, and therefore when they do, there's clear comprehension of them, and it's easier to then decide not to persist with them. Whereas if you do none of that work, then you sit down to meditate and you're just off down that escapist route, and that's where you remain for the duration of the meditation. So clarity of purpose means that when you sit, what you're supposed to be doing is very much to the forefront of your mind, and it's something that when the mind does run off track into a train of thought that takes us away for a little bit, when we become mindful again, then that clarity of purpose comes to our rescue, because it's close at hand, it's to the forefront of our mind. We're going, hey, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, let's bring it back front and center, let's start watching the breath again, let's start noting what else is actually taking place in our experience. Yeah, so that's clarity of purpose. And I think you can sort of gather by the way that I'm talking, you need strong intent. You really do need to make your intent powerful. We do nothing without prior intent. I could not have begun this video without the underlying intent, or the preceding intent to do the video. You would not be watching the video if you had not had a prior intent to watch. You don't open a door, you don't pick your nose, you don't do anything without prior intent. All actions have a prior intent behind them. If that intent is not there, and that's a very good meditation actually, that's a good, very good way of practicing mindfulness. Just going around your day, observing the fact that there is always an intent before you open that can of Coke, or before you open that door, or before you turn on the telly. Whatever it is, there is always a prior intent, and you can actually practice mindfulness of intent and observe the truth of that. If there's no intent, the action is not performed. Okay, so when we sit down to meditate, when we have that clarity of purpose, then we have to have the strength of our intent to follow through from our purpose to actual volition, the actual acting out, the doing of what it is that we are intending to do. And that comes from repetition and developing a strong intent through repeatedly intending. That's the way it gets stronger. Focusing helps tremendously with intent. So if you've got that clarity of purpose and you bring it before you, you say, yes, that's what I'm going to do, that is what I'm going to do, and then you put it into action. And your purpose becomes real through the development of your intent. And then you have sincere application. And I think this is a really, really important one. And that word sincere came up in the meditation. And I thought, well, what do I mean by that? So I looked online and got some synonyms for sincerity, sincere. So we could say earnest application, or we could say genuine application, heartfelt application, real application, serious application, true application, actual application, devout application, guileless application, meant application, unpretentious application, wholehearted application. It doesn't mean force. Strong intent doesn't mean trying to force things. It's the strong intent to do things properly, to follow to the best of one's ability the guidance that's been offered. When we force, it's coming from a non-acceptance of what's actually unfolding, and it is an attempt to manipulate the meditation to reflect some ideal we have for it. Whereas earnest, genuine, heartfelt, real, serious, true, actual, devout, guileless, mense, unpretentious, wholehearted, sincere practice means the wholehearted attempt to follow the guidance. And the guidance is saying, don't force, have strong intent to rest content in the moment, allow experience to arise, and then respond to it. So it's resting, allowing experience to arise, comprehending what it is, and then responding. So if it's the arising of escapism, then it's when we become mindful that the mind has run off track, it's acknowledging it, mindfully noting that tendency, and then bringing the mind back front and center. So a wholehearted, sincere approach is the willingness to keep on doing that, to apply oneself to the instruction with that honesty, that sense of devotion, doing it for real, not falling into the trap of the narrative that says, oh, it's not going right, and then just sort of letting the whole thing crumble as you disappear off into some daydream. It's being resolute. Resolute isn't force. Resolute is strength, coming from the sense of purpose, coming through setting up the intent, and then following through one's application to the best of one's ability. So it's never doing it perfectly. Doing it to the best of one's ability will get the job done. Definitely. I know from my own personal experience, you just cannot do better than the best you can do. And so it's being able to walk away from the meditation and look into the mirror and say, yeah, I did the best I could to follow the instructions the best I understand it. That will see you through. It really will. So clarity of purpose, strong intents, sincere application to the instruction and to act out the instruction. And lastly, gentle persistence. So that's gentle persistence in the short term. So in the course of a 30-minute meditation or an hour meditation, it's being realistic, it's being gentle. So it's the point at which one becomes aware that the mind has run off track. It's the gentleness along with the persistence of returning the attention back. So you never give up hope. I know you don't need hope. You have faith in the instruction, you have faith in your own abilities, and you just gently persist. Anyone who has ever become skillful, anyone has done so through gentle persistence. You need the gentleness and you need the persistence. So it's never abandoning the practice, always including that desire to abandon the practice as one of the things that you note that will help tremendously. And it's gentle repetition, it's gentle persistence, it's recognizing this might sound rather trite, but a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. I thank you. But it is exactly that. It's the whole course of the insight training is a process of bringing the mind back again and again to observing, noting, investigating and exploring our experience. And you go through stages at the very, very beginning. Everything is rough, everything is difficult, the mind wanders like crazy. At the end of each of the insight paths, there's just this most delightful equanimity and clarity and focus and faith in what's actually unfolding. So you just go through this entire journey of development, of mental development, through practicing Vipassana. The insights will come, but you have to persist. And so it's recognizing that you persist within a meditation, and then you persist with meditation day after day. You learn to bring the meditation, you learn to bring insight, the exploration of experience and the development of insight, you learn to bring it out of seated practice and into other aspects of your life as well. It becomes second nature, it becomes a part of your life because you persist. You're developing the habits that lead to insight wisdom. So, and of course, then it all turns on its head, and you go through. What am I trying to say there? But because you've developed a sincere application, gentle persistence, you are able to then to reflect on your experience, which helps to bring greater clarity to your purpose. I would say from experience that it's only at the very end of the entire training that you understand the training. It's completely understand the training. So there is always this evolution of comprehension and the clarity of what it is you're doing and why you're doing it as you go along. So there is always a certain amount of fogginess that comes with you throughout the entire journey, right up until the very, very end. I mean, at the very, very end of the training, I was still foggy what enlightenment was, even when I'd been through all four paths. And it was only, it required an extra, okay, a bit off beam here, but it required an extra level of reflection and mindful observation of what it was that I was actually doing that led to a final abandonment of the pursuit of enlightenment. And that's when the total clarity came. So, yeah. So there's always going to be a certain amount of fogginess throughout the entire training as to what your purpose is, but that gently recedes the more you develop strong intentions, sincere application, and that gentle persistence. Yeah. So, in the next edition of these videos, I very much intend to look at the supramundane path and fruition. So, look out for that. Nice to speak to you. See you again soon.